Amen. It's good to be with you this morning, and it's my privilege to open up the Word of God. And it's quite a rare occasion because I was told a few weeks ago, preach on whatever you like. Wow. It could be a long morning, but I promise you it won't be. I did think we ought to continue in our series on a healthy church and what that's all about, and of course to deal with one of the greatest subjects that any preacher just loves to talk about, and that's God's love. And a healthy church is a church loved by God. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But how many of you remember years and years ago, perhaps when you were children, if you were brought up in a Christian home, most likely mom or dad used to take you to bed, tuck you in, and pray with you. And then they would often sing to you. We have a gorgeous granddaughter who loves us to sing with her. And she says, Granddad, will you sing? I haven't got a clue what that song is. But one of the songs we used to sing was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. You've got it? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Yeah, very good. See, I wasn't the only one. And then a few years on, when we went to youth club, there was another one. Jesus' love is very wonderful. You know that one? And it goes on, so high, can't get over it. So low, so wide. Guess what? Jesus' love is very wonderful. Coming a little bit nearer to today, last week, weren't those baptism testimonies brilliant? I remember Debbie speaking of her glorious interruption and transformation, that moment when a stranger came up to her, simply declaring, God loves you. Then he pressed into her hand, remember what she said, that silver cross, and it was inscribed with the greatest of all statements that any person could ever say to any other person, God loves you. God loves you. Coming even nearer to this moment, in fact, just a few moments ago, where were we? We were around the Lord's table. We were sharing together and remembering the great proof of God's love for us. And what was that? The death of his one and only Son. And as we ate bread and we drank wine, we remembered the death of Jesus upon that cross. And he died for you, and he died for me, and he took our place. And this is the great theme this morning. A healthy church is a church loved by God. That's a small part of the story. For can I put it to you, a really healthy church knows and lives in the reality of this truth, God loves me. Really knowing it. Not with, as someone said, just our knower, our head, but with our heart, with our soul, with every part of our being. Friends, this is incredible. God, the Almighty God, absolutely loves you. It's hard to get our minds around. I find it difficult at times. But the great God of all creation loves me. I don't know if you saw, there was a news item just a few weeks ago now, and somebody was talking about a new telescope on a chilly mountain. I don't mean a mountain that's cold, Chile, but in Chile, South America, one of the high mountains on the mountain range in Chile, a new telescope has been built and put up. It's allegedly the most powerful telescope now on the planet. And the person who was describing it to us said something incredible. He said, I want you to imagine pointing your finger up to the heavens. And I want you to imagine that little tip, that space that your finger's pointing to, develop that on and on and on and on, right into space. And maybe in that little tip of your finger, that area, 100,000 galaxies may be found. Move it, 100,000. Move it, 100,000. Over there, 100,000. He was trying to convey to us the vastness of the heavens. The Bible says, and God made the stars. Just like that. With a word. And God made the galaxies. And he made our solar system. And he made our planet. And he put us on this planet. And we home in to this place on this day and to each one of us personally, individually, sitting in our seat. And here's the great news. The God who did all that loves me. Is there anything greater than that in all this world? I put it to you that there is not. But the Bible is full of verses that speak of God's love. And one of my favorites is this verse, this first slide. It's a verse in Jeremiah. And it says this, 31 and verse 3. And how wonderful Julia's put it on our news sheet for us. And in the Message version, it says, God told them, I've never quit loving you. And I never will. Expect love, love, and more love. Here it says, the Lord says, I have loved you from before you were, with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. This verse speaks of his everlasting love. It is eternal. It is enduring. It is boundless. It exists before time and will continue to exist beyond time and forever. It is a love that is not quite like human love. It is a love that is not earned. It is not received through merit and effort or performance. There is no payment that any one of us can make in order to procure and to demand that God loves us. We cannot earn it. We cannot deserve it. I have loved you with an everlasting love. God's love is simply based on who God is. And he says, I love you. I choose to. I want to. I will love you. This verse speaks also of God drawing people to himself. Don't you love that? He's drawn us to himself. Some of us have real sense of that. He's drawn us, not begrudgingly, but do you see it here in this verse? With loving kindness. That speaks to me of a gentle, persistent pursuing of his people. Inviting us, if you will, to experience his love and his grace. And this great truth just offers us such comfort and such assurance, especially in tough times, when circumstances are really hard and we're going through the mill. At times when, do you ever know these times, God feels distant? We've prayed about something and nothing's happened. We haven't received or heard the answer. And something else has happened, a circumstance in our life, and we're questioning God. Why, God, did this happen? And there are times when we feel so unworthy of God's love, aren't there? How brilliant the devil is to attack us and tempt us in our mind. So often it's our mind that he attacks, isn't it? That moment perhaps when we've thought an unholy thought. Maybe we've left undone something that we ought to have done. Perhaps even more, we have done something, said something that we ought not to. And the devil uses that, doesn't he? Maybe he's the one who causes us to do it in the first place. And he comes into our mind and he says, you've blown it now, Graham, big time. Do you really think God loves you now? Any of us ever been there? Do you really think God loves you now? But friends, here is this glorious, magnificent truth. God does love me, and his love is constant. And it doesn't matter what I do, hear me carefully, God will still love me. That's not an excuse for doing whatever I want to do, God forbid. In fact, the truth of the matter is this. The more we understand and appreciate the amazing love that God has for us, the more you and I are going to be wanting to be obedient to him and to his love and follow in his footsteps, right? But when we do blow it, as often we do, this remains unalterable. God loves me. That's a great verse. Let me show you another verse that I love very much. And this also is found in the Old Testament, and it's in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. It says this, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. Do you ever think about that? The God who flung the stars in space takes great delight in me. He will quiet you with his love. I love that phrase. Those anxious moments, those moments of doubting the love of God, he'll quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Wonder what God's voice sounds like when he's singing over me. Interesting. But brothers and sisters, this is where the faith journey starts. It's understanding that God absolutely, unconditionally, and constantly, never changing, loves you. And if we do not have that assurance of God's love, our faith journey is going to struggle. Reading and establishing firmly, therefore, on our minds and in our hearts, these and other precious Bible verses that speak of the love of God is going to be so important to us. It's going to help to strengthen our faith in God's love. What a precious verse this is. The Lord God is with you. He's mighty to save. He'll take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Let me take you to one more passage of scripture. It's found in Romans chapter 5. I want to read from verse 5. And some of those phrases are on the screen now. But from verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hope that does not disappoint is a hope that is not based on wishful thinking. It is a hope that is based on the certainty of God's love and on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And it is a hope, isn't it, that sustains us as followers of Jesus through the trials and the tribulations and the temptations. It's that hope that provides comfort and assurance. Mentioned, wasn't it, when we were in communion, one day we're not going to need to take the bread and drink the wine. We won't need it, for Christ himself will be there, and we will be with him. This is just a remembrance feast, lest, God forbid, we forget. We won't need it one day. God's love poured out into our hearts. And the Holy Spirit, we're told in this verse, is the agent by which God's love is poured into our hearts. He is the one who enables us to experience and know the love of God. And I want to remind us this morning that the love of God is not simply some concept. It's a tangible, honest reality. If you like, it's a gift freely given. God's love is poured out, and the idea here is that it is poured out and keeps on being poured out to the point of overflowing. And you know what it's like if you pour a liquid into a bucket and you keep on pouring till it overflows, what happens? The ground around it gets wet. And God's love poured out into our heart to the point of overflowing affects every part of my life and even those around us. That's the amazing thing. And the tense of this verb is simply this, if you haven't grasped it already. God's love is poured out. The idea is he has poured it out. He still is pouring it out today, this moment. He's going to be doing it again tomorrow and always. And as we've acknowledged, it's the Holy Spirit who brings this about. The same Holy Spirit who is at work in us to save us, to bring about the experience of God's love in us. He empowers us, comforts us, guides us as we seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Please note, he is the one who makes the love of God real in our hearts and in our minds this morning. And friends, may we be reminded of this. There is no force more powerful than the love of our Heavenly Father in all this world. The love that he has for us, his children. His love can move mountains. His love can stop the roaring seas. His love is able to heal broken bones and take care of wounded hearts. His love transforms lives. His love is able to set free those who are in captivity to all kinds of addictions, whatever they may be. So great is his love for each one of us, for you and me this morning, that he sent his only son to die, that we might know that love and that we might live through him. God is not an angry taskmaster who shows affection only when we succeed. He is a loving Father who will always love us no matter what. Don't you desire to receive something of the depth of God's love for you today? Maybe there's someone here you want to see his love heal you, transform you, free you in some way or another. Maybe you have this desperation to have your troubled mind, your anxious mind, be at peace. God's love wants to bring that about. Maybe we just have a sense that we're not living that abundant life for which Jesus Christ came and died and wanted to bring to us and does bring to us. And we long for that, and the love of God would bring that about that to all of us. Can we remind ourselves of the verses that we've looked at this morning? Here they are. I have loved you with an everlasting love, God says. God will quiet you with his love, we've read. God has poured out his love into our hearts. God has demonstrated his love for us. We sing about it. Not just those two songs at the beginning, but the songs we've been singing through our worship this morning. How beautiful some of those words have been. Have you noticed them? Andrew's so right to remind us to reflect often on the words. They've spoken to us of the love of God. But even though we sing about it, we read about it in the scriptures, and we refer perhaps often to this truth, God loves us. Is the love of God still something that many of us as followers of Jesus can misunderstand or even doubt? Is it not possible that for some of us there's a struggle to believe that God actually does, in fact, really love me personally? As I sit here this morning, God loves me. For some, there's a real struggle, isn't there, to actually believe that an almighty God, an all-powerful God, an all-knowing, all-seeing, all-wise God, in fact, really loves me personally. There are a lot of Christians who can struggle with the whole issue of assurance, being certain that we're loved and saved and known by God. Sure, God is love, but we know in our weaknesses and deep down, there can be doubts, can't there, about the fullness of God's love for us. As we've already acknowledged, is how the enemy would come and accuse us before God. And he is the one who causes us to doubt his love. And you know what? When that happens, something else happens. It's from that that we can be tempted somehow to try and earn God's love. And we can't earn God's love. Or it may be that we're tempted to think somehow or another we can lose God's love. Romans 5, verses 5 and 8 refer to the fact of God's love and not ours for God. It's poured out. It's overflowing in our hearts so that it's something that's internal. It can be truly felt, experienced, truly known. Not just a head knowledge, but more than that. How many can truly testify to knowing and experiencing the great love of God? The story is told of a pastor who was struggling. His name was Carl. And he was having a bad time. Things weren't going well, and he was feeling a bit discouraged. And he reached that point where he wondered whether God was really with him in his ministry and in his life. And his wife was incredibly wise. Our wives often are, gentlemen. And his wife said to him, "Tomorrow you're going to go away for the day. And you're going to just take your Bible, you're going to forget church life, you're going to go out and be on your own, and you're going to go to your favorite place amongst the trees in the forest and by the river that you love so much. You're just going to pray to God, and you're going to talk to God, and you're going to read the scriptures he shows you, and you're going to come back a renewed man, okay?" "Okay," he said, "I'd like that." Next day dawned, and early in the morning off he went. got there quite early and he started praying to God. Lord, speak to me. Show me your love. And he prayed for a bit and he read for a bit, prayed a bit more and started reading all the verses he could think of that showed something of the love of God to him. And there were a lot. And he finished reading those and he prayed again, Lord, show me your love. Nothing happened. He didn't feel any different. And he decided as it was getting near lunchtime and rather than eat the picnic his wife had packed up for him, he'd go home. So he went home. His wife was surprised to see him. What are you doing here so early? You've met with God, I guess. No. In fact, the opposite is true. And she was discouraged, and he certainly was discouraged. And then upstairs, their newborn baby, his name was Zach, started to whimper. And Carl said, I'll go up. And he went up, and he looked at his darling newborn son, beginning to cry in his cot, and he lifted him up. And he enshrouded his arms all around him, cuddling him tight. He said, Zach, I love you. Zach, I'll do anything for you. You know that, don't you? And I don't suppose Zach understood a word. But then it was that he heard the voice of God, and God said, you know what you've just said to Zach? I want you to understand something. There's nothing I won't do for you. You have declared that if Zach disowns you, that if Zach wants nothing to do with you, if Zach goes the wrong way, if he doesn't love you as you want him to, you won't stop loving him, will you? No. And he said, I'll never stop loving you, said God. And Carl testifies to the fact that suddenly, as he was holding his baby, he sensed God holding him. The arms of God wrapped around him, declaring powerfully, I love you. And that experience changed his life. If I might say, I had an experience like that many, many years ago. Overwhelmed by the love of God. Not just something I knew, because I did, but I felt it in a way I'd never felt it before. The arms of God around me, his love truly poured out into my life. And I'll tell you something of what it's done. It's meant that when I think those thoughts that are not honoring to God, it's when the enemy comes and says, Graham, you've blown it. And I say, yeah, but God still loves me because I can't get away from that now. Have you had an experience of the love of God, something like that? I'm going to invite Andrew, please, if he would kindly come up and begin to quietly pray for us as we draw these thoughts to a close and ask God to speak to our hearts. Can I say, first of all, is there anyone here this morning? And you need to know something of this love of God for the very first time. You need to just quietly pray in your own heart and in your own mind, thank you, Lord, for loving me, that you died for me. You took my place. You forgive my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I want to know and experience your life. Can I invite you where you're seated just to remain seated? Maybe you'd like to just open your hands up on your lap. Ask God to speak to you and fill you with his love. And maybe we're one of those Christians who don't experience this love of God as perhaps we might. We know God loves us, but it seems to stop there. Brother, sister, if you have an experience or a desire to know more of the experience of God's love in your life, I'm going to ask God to show his love to us in just a moment. We might have a Carl-type experience. Open up your hands to receive his love. If you simply want a renewal of your love, as you're seated, just open up your hands as if to receive a gift, to receive the gift of God's love. Because that love enables us to overcome. It brings assurance. Helps us to rejoice and to go through even our trials and struggles, as Romans 5 tells us. And it can be truly an experience that will last forever. It spurs us on. So friends, we remain seated. We bow our heads. We open up our hands. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you so much for your amazing love, your everlasting love. love that does not change, that's poured out into our hearts. Some of us feel, Lord, that we don't have much of a filling, maybe, of your love this morning. Will you come? And right where we are, seated and in your presence, wanting to receive more of your love, come, Lord Jesus. Fill our hearts full and to overflowing of that great sense and wonder of your amazing love. We don't want to just intellectually know about your love. We want to experience your love, because we then want to walk in the reality of your love day by day, knowing, going through each day, God loves me, spurring us on to serve you more faithfully, to be more obedient. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts afresh with your love. And if there's one who's here searching and seeking this morning, Lord, just enable them to pray that simple prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Cleanse my heart. Thank you for dying in my place. I want you to save me. I want you to come into my life that I may experience this amazing love. So, Lord, we come and we wait upon you. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Bring to us the love of God. Show us your love afresh, Lord, we pray. Come, Lord. Overwhelm us with your love, Lord, we pray. For it is such an awesome thing. We want to know it more and more. We want to walk in it. Hear our prayer. Hear our cry. We wait on you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.